morning. It's Sunday, June 26th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service today. We ask, O Jesus, that there would be a flow of your nature, your spirit, your truth, your light, Lord. Cause that to just flow, that your word would be lit up by your spirit, and that we would receive by your spirit, receive your truth, and your word by your spirit. Amen.
I just got a couple of statements to make from the scriptures. It says in John 17:17, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's letting us know that the word of God is where truth is. And then he says, in verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Truth is the answer to sanctification. To be sanctified, according to my concordance, it says in this setting, it says that it's a separation unto God. And the only way that we can be separated unto God is through His truth. And Pilate asked Jesus, he said, what is truth? And we didn't get an answer here, but we have slowly begun to understand that the Bible, the Word of God, is God's truth. And it wasn't that way, and it always will be that way. And so, for God to reveal His truth of His Word to us, gives us the basis for sanctification. And the thing that's in chapter 18, in verse 37, Pilate said to him, are you a king? And Jesus said, you say that I am a king. And the way it's worded, he is saying, what you're saying is the truth. What you're saying is true. I am a king. And then he says, to this end was I born. Now just try to think about what word is saying here. To this end was I born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And I said that, I want to read another little section. You know, we're told that there's faith, hope, and charity. And that the greatest of those is charity, love. And in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll find it here eventually. It's actually Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 or 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth, is truth essential?
Amen.
Truth is vital. Speak the truth in love. If we're going to have the proper love in us, then we have to be also conscious of truth. That we may grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. We can't grow into him without love, and we can't grow into him without speaking the truth. But the truth is a kind of a slippery slope. think Corky has said it a number of times. It's like Pilate said, "What is truth?" And Jesus defined it. And we kind of defined it too. It's like whatever God meant by what he said is truth. That's what truth is. What God meant by what he said, not by the interpretation that somebody come up with. And so anyway, speaking the truth in love, they grew up into him in all things, which it had even Christ. I got thinking about that, and I thought, okay, so we have a lot of different church systems with a lot of different ideas. We have people that that vote on truth. You know, well, what is the truth? Well, I don't know. We'll take a vote on it. And we can vote all we want, but God is the one that decides truth, no matter how we vote. And such things like the Trinity back in the 3rd century or so forth that were invented or were where they came to these things, they voted on these things to get them. That's the way that they determined if that's what it meant. And when it says to speak the truth in love, that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. So we can be in false doctrine all we want with all the love that we think we have, and that still is not our answer. The truth and the love have got to go hand in hand. Mm. Anyway, that's all I want to say right at the moment. I hadn't heard about Steve Fay, but my wife and I spent one of the worst evenings in our lives witnessing to him and his first wife, Beverly. And Steve is a very intelligent person, and he had tried to convince us that he was very Bible-worthy, you know, and he says he is reading, looking at the Bible that he had, and he says, "Well, there's something wrong with my Bible. The Old Testament's in the front in this one." Mm-hmm. And his wife, Beverly, says, "Dummy, they're all like that." Mm-hmm. And it was a horrible evening. We tried to witness to him, and he's very smart, and he didn't really want to be witness to him. And so I thought, well, we came all the way up here to talk to him, and I hate to see the evening end like this. And so I said, why don't we hold hands and pray together? And kind of a stupid or funny thing to say, but we did. We joined hands, and as we prayed, one of the first things I said is, "Lord, let peace come upon this house." And I didn't know that Beverly's mother had been in witchcraft and that there were some crazy spirits in that house, and they couldn't sleep. Their little boy Darren couldn't sleep at night without the lights on. And when we went home, a strange peace. See, what we couldn't do, God did anyway. Mm-hmm. Of course, we can't do anything anyway. But and that was the beginning of Steve's salvation. So that's a real important one for me. It's an important area.
I got something to share, a couple of things.
Good.
This couple of things, for me at least, they have been so powerful that I'm telling you right now, I might not be able to get through it. If I do, just let me stop and you guys go on. And one of them is, I I've been going to the ER like every other day, so I have my own bed, my own room, my own. Anyways, you know what? I pray that's so bad. And the only reason why I'm going is because of the pain. Mm-hmm. It just hurts so bad in the side of my face. I don't want to get into details, it's that it's not necessary. I was in pain. It's late. They didn't give me nothing for the pain. And I'm glad you're here, Charlie. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad because you, so you can hear this too. I know that or whatever.
This was last Monday.
Huh?
This was last Monday.
Yeah. And I was exhausted. It was only like 10 or whatever time it was. I was exhausted. I was so tired. And I wasn't, it wasn't like excruciating pain, but I was in pain. And I was sitting there and I wanted to pray. I just couldn't pray. I mean, that I couldn't pray. And I said, but the only thing I could do was pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. And I started to pray. And just for the record, I've never prayed in tongues out loud in front of anybody. I've only prayed in tongues by myself in my truck, or when I've been by myself. I prayed in front of everyone there. And then I would just pray, and that was all I could do. I couldn't do anything else. If the place would have been on fire, I would have burned because I was that tired. And I started praying in tongues. And this was a different tongue than I usually, not that there's a rhythm or a usual for me, but it was a bit different. It wasn't like a whole lot of it, but it was different. A little slower, was more calm. And I'm praying. And every time I prayed, I knew that part of my healing or all my healing was gonna come from tongues. Every time I opened my mouth and I started praying, I could feel. I'm just gonna give a horrible example because I don't have any more examples. But like peeling an onion, you just take a little. It looks the same. The onion looks the same, but I'm taking a layer off this tissue. I keep praying in tongues. I keep, you know, and you can see that you're taking some, but it's still almost the same. But slowly, through tongues, God was doing something. He was doing something. Okay, you guys know I'm not crazy, so.
You know.
Most of the time, that's
most
true.
Most of the time, even it's half the time. This. Tongues. Anyways, my healing is gonna come through these tongues. After a while, I was so tired. But anyways, that was a good thing to know. You know what? Anything that God does in you, you know, God is a good thing. Anything. I don't care what it is. If it's who cares? You know. You just know it's good. It was amazing. Now this other thing. Now yesterday, you know what? I'm gonna share a dream real quick. I wonder if I have this dream. What was it?
It was the last hospital stay in June 6th or something.
So I was still, you know, pretty much in mobile.
No, you were walking with a walker.
Okay, in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
you were walking with a walker a week ago.
So, you know, I had a catheter, which is when you need to go pee, you just pee in a bay or whatever it is. And I was not ready to go outside, you know, not ready. And another difficulty, you know, I had this dream, like it's one of the shortest dreams ever. But in the dream, it was. It wasn't pitch black, but it was darker. And I could I could see myself in the darkness. And it was I don't know if it was a room or if I was in the woods, I couldn't tell. But I'm in the darkness, and all the way there is for light is this candle lights, you know, 10 candles, different thickness, I don't matter. All there was for light was these candles in the center of the table. And there's just nobody there, or I couldn't see anybody. And I'm fine, I'm not scared or nothing. But it was darkness, it was, you know. But all of a sudden I realized that I wasn't alone, I was with Jesus. Jesus was there, and it was so obvious. There's no question that Jesus was there. And I couldn't see him or hear him, but he was there. So I gotta tell you, you know what I mean? It's my dream. And the dream was over, that's it. And then I left the dream go for a while. And then what did I realize?
That Jesus was with you. I don't know what the flames represented, but that Jesus was with you.
Light. Dim light. Anyways, you know, we realized that, you know, through all this, it's dark. But Jesus is there. He's with me. And it might look darker. And I don't know if the end of the darkness was then light. I don't know what was the barrier between the darkness and the light. But anyways, but Jesus was there. He was as obvious, just like you can see your hand and you know, touch your hand. Jesus was there. Jesus was there. And the other thing is, I have, you know, felt the Lord. Was it yesterday? Yes. Oh my God. Yesterday, I felt the Lord like, I have no words, but if I have to use a word, words, like a million pounds of something. And it was so much. So much. I got to the point that I needed to stop it. Because it was way too much. Way too much. And it was through a song. I don't think it matters. And
three times.
It happened three, yeah.
Three times yesterday.
Yeah. I was going to show Ken. He said, maybe listen to this song, this 20 seconds of the song, you know, and whatever. You know, let's listen, you know. Ha-ha. Lay there. Because I'm like, I'm sobbing, like there's no sobbing on earth. And I was in tears. I was almost in pain, probably, it looked like. I don't know what it was. But man, the Spirit of the Lord just came so heavy. And interesting fact, parenthesis or whatever. Usually when sometimes I get tears just because of the wind and my tears burn a little bit, like acid. I don't know if that happens to you, but my tears are. But this time I cried, and my tears were just, you know, water, you know, there was no pain. But anyways, okay, it's over. And then, Ken and we prayed and the whole thing. And then that's Rudita and Felicity coming home. Tell Rudita Felicity about this. And there was things to say. And I'm telling her, I'm showing her. So again, the power of the Lord comes down. And I'm helpless. I'm like, yeah, that's it. You want to watch me cry. You used to watch me, baby. And then there was the power of the Lord again.
Then I told
Keith. It wasn't a strong, my cry and everything. Anyways, and that small experience, wow, small in time, it was good for me. I can use it for my comfort, for when I'm in pain, when the pain is coming, I just say, you know what, the guy is with me, whatever. In fact, today, it's a little bit, I concentrate, the guy is with me, and whatever. And you know what, I told kids one thing, and it was stupid, I still tell. Keith, you have no idea about the power of the Lord. Okay, yes, Keith, you do know about the power of the Lord. you happened to me. I've made, you know, no idea what happened to me. You have no idea about the power of the tongue. So I don't really remember, but anyways, it was stuck for a little bit. But anyways, and I told Andy, even this morning, I'm in the kitchen doing my exercises, and then the power of the Lord comes again, and I gotta go to the bathroom and tell Andy the power of the Lord is in me. I'm crying, it's no pain, I'm fine. So the power of the Lord, whatever. I'm not in pain, I'm fine. But the power of the Lord has to yesterday especially, and you know, with the tongues the other day, but it has fallen on me, and I don't know what it is, and I am 100% sure that all of you have experienced it. I'm late to the party here. You all have experienced the power of the Lord in you, in such a way. But it's just a desirable, it's such a desirable thing. In a way, it's a little scary because it's so strong. It's like you're getting soaked in heavy something. But anyways, and I know what, I pray that it keeps happening. And I pray that keeps happening, you know, when I minister to someone, because
yes.
I know when that power of the Lord is. I told Andy yesterday, when that power of the Lord is there, that I told her, baby, you have to touch me. You have to take advantage of it. Take it. Do whatever you can do with it, do. You know what I mean? Don't just do what you know. Thank you, Jesus. It's the power of the Lord.
Yes.
And
he said, when it comes over me, baby, if there's anybody nearby, have them touch me. If they need something, have them touch me. Because it's not me, but he said something's happening.
Yeah. Anyways, you know, that's basically it. So.
And that's what he is desirous, to just be used. To just, he has no other focus of any other worldly things. I'm calling on that text, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
That last text you sent me about the loaves and the fishes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll be relying on that now, because we're going to be relying on the Lord for sure. And the Lord's going to do glorious things.
A decision that I made, not that I made, that God made me decide or whatever. I'm not, even if I get 100% or better with my body, I'm not going back to Thailand. I'm not sure why I'm not going back. I'm just, I just, that's what I decided. I have to wait on the Lord, because right now I couldn't make that if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But and when I'm feeling better, I'm going to be healthier or whatever. But I'm not, I don't have this. It's just not in me. I don't have this less work. You know what I mean? I'm not saying less, not less do nothing. But this title is not it's not part of me at all. I got zero interest. And I had all these groups in Facebook that I would belong to about title, and I would always see them. And I did them all. It's like, this is the stupid thing I haven't seen. You know, so God's doing something, and it's not a faith test, not tester, but you know, I want to know what he's going to do, because he's going to do something. I don't know what it is, and it doesn't matter how much you trust him, you still wonder what is he going to do. I don't have dial in my desires, in my. It's so far removed. Maybe I do something else. It's not time. You know what I mean? And could I have it my way? I wanna minister to people. There's, oh my God, we went to the one of the times we went to the emergency room. We talked to two people, but those two people, they could have taken every prayer we had. and that you had, that anybody had. There are so many people in need. And it's like, well, where do I go? You know what? You just get out of your house, go to your neighbor's house. I bet you anything they'll receive, they can take a prayer.
Hence the multiple trips to Corky's driveway for a year.
long story, super church. One guy, he could have so used more prayer, and then he got called, or I got called. And this other lady came, when I prayed with her, and just, it's not like, oh, thank you for the prayer. It was this prayer for this person. Anyway, I'm not like you guys talk. That's basically that. Long story short.
There's so many people out there that need prayer. Really? Yes. I told Pablo I could go every single night, now that I've been into the Eau Claire ER and they know me very well. I could go in there every single night for 4 hours and pray.
Yeah.
And he told me, he says, you know what? A good place to pray is going to, you know, to the ER. And I said, yeah, but, you know, I don't want to get, like, charged with loitering. But they all know me now. And I could, I mean, each time that we've sat in there, I want to go pray to them. Okay, no, I did it, but I would just pray silently. But this last Monday night when we were there, and he had his pain, and we went in there. They knew he wasn't having a stroke, so they're like, we'll be with you, Pablo, when we can. Mm-hmm. And so we sat there, and Pablo was just, he couldn't talk. He was just got faces of pain, pain. And I saw this elderly lady. Her husband was 82, and they were checking him in for clinical depression. His doctor told the wife, just bring him in. And I suppose being admitted to the LA floor or whatever. And she was just sobbing behind her mask. And then they went and sat down. And while I was trying to keep him distracted by, oh, look at that lady has a broken leg. And there was 20 people in there with their leg up in the air. And, you know, they all had an emergency. Mm-hmm. But we had an emergency. And they were to call him back first because he had had a stroke. So he's priority. Right. So the lady with the gas on her leg is not as whatever because he won't die, you know. And so then I'm feeling for all the other people. And so this couple, and they wheeled them over kind of by us, and Pablo's sitting in the wheelchair because automatically they want him to be in the wheelchair. So they said, we'll have a nurse check you, which I do want prayer at the end for that guy, but we'll have a nurse check you in a minute, Pablo, we're too full. And this couple went over and they sat there and they were like this. And the wife was just bloodshot eyes, and Pablo says, what's his problem? And I said, his wife is checking him in for clinical depression. I mean, they were there, so I could hear what they were saying. And he's like, oh. And Pablo's like this and like this. And I'm thinking, I want to go pray for that guy, but my husband's in pain. I should just be praying for my husband. But all of a sudden, Pablo, he's like, wheel me over by that guy. I said, okay. So now I wheel him over. Now, they hadn't checked Pablo for nothing at this point. He could have been at stroke level, but nobody was rushing. So Pablo goes up and he says, can I pray with you? And he said, sure. Pablo says, why are you here? And the wife says, clinical depression. And the man says, I fell, I don't know when, at some point, and all I can do is walk with a walker. He was a little frail, 82-year-old guy. He says, all I can do is walk with a walker. He says, and I hurt my face. And he says, I have no purpose of life. He says, I just want to commit suicide from this pain. I live with chronic pain. I can't handle this head. My head is pounding, and I can't live with this pain anymore. And the wife was like, okay. And so I said, Pablo's like, well, can I pray for you for that pain? I'm thinking, oh, okay. I've already watched this happen so many times when he's in pain. You know, when he stopped over. Then he starts telling me, Radeed, about the power of the Lord. And 2 minutes before that, he was in this wild pain. When he starts talking Bible, that pain disappears. I have watched it even through all the several months of the TMJ, whatever. Anyways, so we started praying for this gentleman. And as we're praying, Pablo's like, and Lord, today's a new day. And so he prayed for 4 minutes, and I prayed for 4 minutes, and I helped the guy stand. And he was like, you know, and Pablo says, Bill, starting today, the Lord's going to do this, and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, we get down, and the guy says, so why are you here? And Pablo goes, you know what? I just probably need to go home. He goes, you know why I'm here? He says, I had a stroke. He says, about 6 weeks ago or whatever. And the guy goes, oh my, the problem goes, yeah. And he goes, now I have this thalamic pain syndrome, that this nerve and whatever. The guy's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And Pablo goes, yeah. And he goes, but you know, Pablo says, you know what? I need to just take what I just told you, and I need to just go home, he says. And the guy's like, yeah, whatever. And then I told the guy, I said, you know why we're here? My husband has pain, but you know why we're here? We're here because we're supposed to pray with you. That's why we're here. And he says, I believe it. I believe it. And then Pablo says, you are going to walk out of here, and God's going to give you. And he, you know, on. And the wife was just like, oh, thank you. I mean, she was just a mess. And then he said, he goes, this is my wife, and without her, I would die. I can't live without her, blah, 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 blah. And then Pablo's looking at me like, oh, no. And he says, that's the same about my wife. Okay, so then we got called back. They checked his blood pressure. It was high, but he was okay. So they said, we still don't have a room. You got to go back to the waiting room. Well, there was already a very large woman in the corner. I don't know what her problem was. She was already sick, distraught. And I had been feeling to pray with her, but I knew at any minute they would call Pablo. So when they said, you got to go back out there and wait. So we went back out there for another 25 minutes. And I said to Pablo, they had called the older guy back. I told Pablo, I said, I'm going to go pray with that lady. So I walked over to her and I said, I don't know. Can I pray with you? Yeah, please. And she just grabbed my arm. She had these bags with her. I don't know if she was checking herself in or what. And I just started praying for this amazing prayer of whatever came out of me. I still never asked her why she was there, but I said, I am here today. My husband thinks he's having a problem, but I'm actually just here to pray with you. And she's like, yes, thank you. Yeah, you know. And then I told her, my mother used to do this to me in Kmart. And I was so embarrassed. And she goes, so you've become your mom. I said, I have. And I would want it no other way. And she said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, then they called him back. But then, of course, all they gave him was fluids and magnesium. And then they rechecked the CAT scan and the heart and everything. And it's pain. But I told them I could go to that ER and go around and pray with people. And I'm nothing, but I like to pray. And if God uses me, he uses me. But I like to pray. I'm not quiet. I'm not shy. I just like to pray. And then while I'm praying, the Lord does things in me that I need done. So maybe we'll just go keep on the ER. Except when they get there, they'll be like, Papa, do you need a wheelchair this time or not? Yeah, just to pray.
God's way of making you go.
Right, right. You can become an ambulance driver. No, because I can't handle like emergency stuff like that. But because I was literally all I'd be able to do is pray. I couldn't like do anything.
Just go show up in a mobile ambulance and pray for him instead.
You could be a chaplain member.
Yeah.
When my dad was in the first day there was a chaplain that came in. He's like, are you guys Christians? I'm like, yes, we're Christians. You know.
He was in the ER. They checked him out and they, you know, cut off all his clothes, whatever. Well, then they put him in a room to like stabilize him. They were still running tests, and I was on the phone with Dominic, and we had only been in the ER for an hour. And I'm on the phone with Dominic, and all of a sudden they were like, "Well, you guys are fake. Would you like a chaplain to, you know, come in?" And I'm like, "Sure." And then I'm talking to Dominic. I'm like, "They're gonna bring in a chaplain." Dominic's like, "They think he's dying, don't they?" I'm like, "I don't know. Nobody told me." He's like, "Mom, they're only calling a chaplain because they think he's in a path." I'm like, "Well, okay, then we'll call the chaplain." And then this little tiny young lady comes walking in. She's like, "Would you guys like prayer?" And then I looked at the nurse and I was like, "She's like, no. That's just what we do. Because you guys are already praying in here, we just thought while you were waiting, you could have a chaplain in here."
Probably teach her how to pray.
Yes.
Well, from when I saw Thursday, you could probably be in there from noon until probably midnight or 5 a.m. and you'd be busy all day. Because when Connor and I got there with Sophie at 9:30 in the morning, there was like nobody there. And all of a sudden, I just could start seeing people walking through. And all of a sudden, I realized the whole ward was filled up by noon. And I was like, oh, they are busy down here.
We got there at 7 or whatever on Monday night. And I told them, like, man, they're probably not here. Nobody here. And as I get him in the chair, I said, you're going to be in the wheelchair for a second outside. I got to go park.
Yep.
He's like, okay. So he's sitting there like this, you know. And I looked into the windows, and you can see all these people. Literally, people got their legs up on the chair. They got to wait, you know. And I told him, I said, baby, don't look through those windows. Just keep your eyes down. Because then he knows how long he's going to have to wait.
Wait.
Yeah, but I cannot believe the, and I told the nurse, I said, it's Monday at 7. It's not, you know, Friday and Saturdays they're busy.
Right.
She goes, you know what? Mondays are really crazy here. And then all of a sudden they made an announcement, ER status, blah, 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 emergency room mm-hmm. notice, blah, 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 ER is full.
They have to send them someplace else, yeah.
Yeah. So, and a lot of stroke resuscitation teams, please get to room 23, you know. And so when I have a few times I've stepped out for the bathroom, like, what room is public?
Yup.
You know, but I told them there's, even the whole time in the hospital, there was constant stroke. I mean, they got to have at least a stroke a day in a player, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. And that's just one hospital.
Yeah, right. Right.
That's happening in all of them.
And I just, I would have to, you know, leave his room.
So that is a real ministry, actually.
I would love to walk around the hospital and pray for people. And in the olden days, you could do that. But now you have to have 5 at Luther. You have to have a list of 5, and you can't change that list. And mm-hmm. But when you put on a mask, you just say, my name's Emily, and then just go visit everybody that can have an Emily.
The world needs prayer.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is I'm nobody, but I like to pray. So if my prayers help or encourage, I'm willing.
Yeah, our friend Dave that we pray for, he is doing well. They don't have a rule. He's, I guess they know, broken ICU into like two groups. There's intensive care and then there's like lower intensive care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's in lower intensive care because they don't have a bed to just put him into regular care. So it's just scary because there's not enough room in the ER, there's not enough room in the non-ER. It's really kind of a interesting situation because his wife, who we've prayed for, who's had 2 neck surgeries and still is in a collar, so
a collar and a walker.
Collar and a walker. He can't go home because he has no one to take care of him. He doesn't have a candy. Or his candy. Or his candy has got 2 neck surgeries and she can't do it. So they're now looking at how he's gotta go to a convalescence.
Yeah.
Dave doesn't have a candy.
Oh, Dave, I thought you said, and you said candy has neck surgery.
No.
He wound up having a 6-way bypass.
We know what he was saying in here,
yeah,
Susan.
Okay.
I don't know why you didn't.
He got her fox ring.
Well, we try something.
But they don't hear of a lot of 6-way bypass. You know, that's not very common. But apparently he's doing very well, but he's, as it turns out, he's going to have to go to a rehab someplace because there's nobody to take care of him. I mean, she can't physically take care of him. So he's not too happy about that, but, you know. Do you want me to come over?
Yeah, listen, I will take him. Don't let him go to the dump.
Don't
I'll take him. I have ever as more and more experience than the dove cells.
Actually, I have no idea. The problem is you, well, as Charlotte knows, when Sid was needed to go to rehab, the only place they could fit him in was Black River Falls.
Yes, that's what Pablo, he was discharged, medically discharged that Monday, even though he had a catheter, he was still going to the bathroom in the bed.
Yeah.
And couldn't walk. He didn't even, I mean, when they took him to the dump, he still wasn't walking.
Yeah.
He could only stand up for 8 seconds. But he was medically discharged as of Monday so that they could get him out of there. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we were praying for any place local. And they wanted, it was the Mayo, Osseo Menominee, Black River, or Toma something, or Barrett.
Yeah.
And I was like, no! I already have to go every day, all day long. That's an extra hour drive.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the problem. So they're hoping to get someplace local, you know. I mean.
Well, we've been back up to the Dove for PT, and we go in there and we pray for some of those ladies that I made friends with. And they're full.
Yeah.
All their rooms are full. When we were there the other day, they're all full.
Well, you know, and I'm sure
they naturally call up the dump. No doubt.
The problem is they don't have enough help. Yeah. I mean, right, look at the help. Like you, the first night he was there, he had two little young girls that are like.
No, right, that all of the CNAs are that young.
Yeah.
They have one nurse for 30 people, yeah. And then they have all the young high school and college,
yeah,
CNA girls.
And we need more people to want to do this, but they don't pay very well, I don't think. You know, and
not for what they have to do.
Yeah, I mean, and unfortunately, families don't take care of family like they used to.
No.
It's not that. And most families can't. Candy was in a situation where she didn't have a full-time 40-hour-a-week job that she could just walk away from, you know.
Right.
So that's very unique. Otherwise, people are going, how can I still work 40 hours a week and be with my husband 100?
Right.
You know?
And so what they have to go through in school, because Serenity was going to do that, and she dropped out after the first semester. She said, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Well, and each person there is a different, you know, I met so many different people in there, and you can't just have minimal training.
Right.
Everybody has a, some people are very, very, very needful there, you know, and I actually would, as an extra job, if God allows this, I would like to go work at the Dove as one of the activity administrators, because I wanted to do that when my grandma lived at the Dove on Claremont or whatever, behind Sacred Heart, there was a Dove. When my girls were little, I wanted to go get a job there and brush their hair and take them outside and give them. I was going to make mini donuts in their great big lunchroom, but two of the residents ended up with COVID, so they made everybody stay in their room. And so here I was in and out, walking up and down the hallway, waving, but they had to stay in their room and eat all their meals in their room by themselves. And oh my gosh, it was hard on me. So between the dog and the ER, I guess that's where you'll find me if Pablo's not needing me to.
Are they allowing volunteers yet? Because I volunteered in sixth grade at a nursing home in my hometown for a while. And I did basically anything they wanted me to do. I played games, cut part, whatever. But I know COVID, it's all changed now.
Right. Right. Well,
you think maybe
still
want
to looking to hire somebody. And so at this point, as much as I would love to volunteer,
yeah,
I might have to do something in exchange for money.
Oh.
There we go. Some of us are not working.
I was a candy striper.
Yeah.
Way back when that's what they had, and you just
Jackie and me and Krista were going to go do that.
Yeah, you volunteer and you go there and you have your little uniform and you deliver flowers and.
If I was in the position to volunteer, I would do it. Mm-hmm. And I'd just make him come with me. Trail behind, we're going there.
He'd look funny in one of those little skirts with the hand. Yeah. Candy striper, which I don't think they have anymore.
No, because it's going to have to.
Yeah.
The Lord always provides. I think every single one of us can attest that the Lord always provides. We don't know how, but none of us are starving. None of us are living on ramen noodle water.
Water.
I know, but I didn't want to say it to them. I was already telling Rajiv the other day about what that was.
Alan's hands, I love that.
My mom used to say that all the time, too.
Well, but Pam would say, okay, we're having hot dogs today, and then tomorrow we're having wiener water soup.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so probably your experience is going to change your life. You are going to be changed. Your further into your future, it's going to be totally changed. And praise the Lord for that.
Refreshing my memory of what you say here. I was in these one lady, but I'm getting this.
I told the neurologist.
I told you.
Not having pain, you're telling all these people this.
I told people and said, the Pablo that we met before this, you know, before, is not the same Pablo that you know today. I'm the same Pablo from tomorrow. I mean, maybe it's invisible right now for the exterior person, not for me. But God has done a work in me. God has done, you know, I gotta say, it's so simple to talk when there's no pain in my face. And, you know, parenthesis, I haven't had really any to speak of pain.
No, Wednesday morning we prayed deliverance. And he said, I can't live like this. That's even after we were at the ER on Monday. He said, I can't live like this anymore. And he was in massive pain. And the Lord all of a sudden showed me with neon lights some spirits, especially some anxiety things that had been sitting in him. And we prayed deliverance. And prayed in tongues. But we prayed deliverance. And it was like spirits were illuminating. And then we took a shower and, you know, got ready. But later in the day, all of a sudden he was calm. And he said, you know what? Since I know the Lord's going to use me. And I know the Lord wants to use me. And he told me all along, this is not just for me. This is for everybody. This is for all the people that God wants me to minister to. I feel that calling. And I know this is for everyone else. But he says, I know that God's going to use me. But he can't use me while I'm laying here in pain or my face. I wouldn't be able to speak to people if I'm having that pain. He says, so I know God will take care of it because he wants me to minister to people. So it was like all of a sudden, you know, and then Wednesday night was a little bit better. Then Thursday morning was great. All day Thursday was really good. Then late Thursday night, so we took the golf cart as a distraction, and then we go back in Corky's driveway, and then Corky comes outside, and then he prays for Pablo, and then we go back home. And then Friday, and then Friday then again. So now yesterday, we did not have to text Corky for a prayer or nothing. So I think Corky left for the day, I'm not sure, because it was kind of quiet over there. But yesterday was the best, longest, amazing. But then the Spirit of the Lord came over him. So he's not wanting all of this for himself. He says, if I'm sitting here in pain, I can't minister to nobody. And that's all he wants to do is minister. Is minister and minister and pray and minister. And he's nothing, but that's just what he wants to be. And so he says, I'm not the same Pablo. And I don't, people are like, restore Pablo, heal Pablo back to what he was, let him go back to what he was doing. And he says, no, I don't want that prayer.
Well, nobody has prayed that, but anyways, I don't. It's not that I don't want to. It's like I don't want to steal what I have. I don't want to go back to what I was. And I'm not saying that I was evil or I was doing bad things. Really, that's just not where it is. That's not what's in my heart. It's not. So. You guys are looking right now. This is a different man. I am not the same man I was 2 months ago. You are looking, you are witnessing really a different something. Eventually the things are kind of going to kick in and they're going to start working and they're not happening right now, but they will. And I don't know when, how, could be a personal time, I don't care. Other things could be all these prayers that you pray for me. You think you're praying for me, and you are. But there's a gigantic work that in you with every prayer that you're praying. It's for me, for my betterness, but every prayer, every word that's coming out of your mouth is doing also a great work in you. And one day, I'm not going to have the need of this specific prayer. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get out. And I don't know, but it's a good thing. We think that any prayer or good, my prayer or answers, praise God. No. Now you're praying for me, but you are getting as benefited from it, as benefited from it than me. We are both getting an excellent, not really, if the reward goes both ways. We are both getting rewarded. It's crazy.
God is good.
Yeah.
God is good.
Doesn't it say in the Bible, pray for others that you might be healed?
Yes.
Amen. I did share with Pablo the other day. Came and said Pablo was in pain. Could I come over and pray for him? And she wasn't there, so I put her over.
35 minutes out of the house.
Which is exactly the way the enemy works.
So I
came over and I prayed, and I couldn't tell if Pablo was trying to rest or what, so I wasn't, being forceful in the natural. And so I prayed, and I went home, and so I came to come in, and two minutes later, she's going to the hospital. I'm thinking, well, that wasn't very effective. I don't know how often I'm going to get called, and this is the result of it. And I told Pablo, I said, man, I've been struggling. I'm teasing, but it was. Yeah, but in a sense, you have to, in all of this, and I know everybody knows, but we need to remain humble because we're not doing anything, God is doing it all, and we just want to be willing vessels. We just want to be willing vessels for God to do something through us to others.
Well, you came and prayed with them, and then I rushed home, and then he was like, baby, I need to go in for this pain. So you prayed for him, and then we went and ended up praying for those other two people. So it kind of, it just trickles.
It's an enabler.
Yeah. It is good to see what God is doing right now, even through the prayers and the stuff and the connection, how he's just knitting the love between every group and people here, that, close knitting together, and it's really cool to watch what he's doing, building in his body, restoring
because
his
Because we all
joints.
Need each other. I need Glenn's prayer, and Charlie needs Charlotte's prayer. We all need each other.
We're all on.
Yes, right. Yep.
We're a part of a body, mm-hmm. and each part has to do its part mm-hmm. in order to be a full body.
Mm-hmm. Like that music, mm-hmm. like that dream that you had, a vision about all the different
music.
Instruments.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yep.
I had that at home. I intended to post it.
All different.
Yeah.
When you started reading that at our house, I instantly knew how that. I was like, yeah, because we all. It was a body thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Because I keep thinking it every time I'm in my living room looking for Glenn's wallet.
No, I think I read it yesterday or the day before.
Oh,
remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't shared that with the body. It was just at your house.
So
you were here.
Did I?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. It was, if I can remember it, I was dreaming, kind of, and I heard a violin, but I didn't hear it. It was there, but it was so beautiful, the music, and I wanted to play that. And then all I heard a piccolo, and it was the same thing. I didn't really hear it, but I felt it, and the music was so beautiful, and I forget what else. There was drums and everything, but they all came together, and it was like a harp. The harp was the final. The angels were playing this harp, and I could feel this beautiful music praising the Lord, but I didn't hear it, but I did. I felt it. That's about all I remember of it, but it all came together. Yeah, that's the body.
Mm-hmm.
The body knitting together.
Mm-hmm. And one has a song, and one has a testimony, and one has a harp, and one has a drum.
Yeah.
Because the drums by themselves, they don't really sound all that
high.
No,
it
Oh, you should come over when Josh is playing. He shakes the whole house. He blasts the music.
Oh.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
so want to be a part of that music.
You know, the Bible talks about a dead and dying world, and all these stories of the ERs being filled in the hospital and no beds around in any rehabilitation facility. And what we have is a dead and dying world that needs the Lord, just needs the Lord. Needs the Lord ministering of healing. Hey, raise us up, Lord. Raise us up so that that dead and dying world will be able to receive what it needs. It needs you. It needs your healing. It needs your strength. And it needs you. And what a great thing, what an honor to be part of what the Lord has in mind, I believe, in this dead and dying world.
A song recently that I heard that I've been listening to over and over and over and over, and it played one morning on 99.9 is a new Christian radio station, and I would just listen to it the whole way to the hospital with my driving as fast as I could, but without speeding, you know, every single morning. And there, the song says, "Help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Help me want more than the giving." Anyways, and it says, "Help me want you, Jesus, more than anything." So that's what I just kept seeing over and over, is help me want the healer more than the healing. You know, help me want the giving more than the giver. Help me want, no, I can't think of the other one. The save, what? Oh yeah, help me want the Savior more than the saving, you know. And so if you put your eyes on those, you want the healer more than the healing, because everyone doesn't end up with an earthly healing, and everybody doesn't end up healed how we, you know, I
perceive.
Right. And I know when my mom passed, people were like, oh, God just chose to not heal her. I never looked at it like that. I was like, shut your mouth of unfaith. What do you mean he didn't choose to heal her? She won the game of life. You know, that would be like you're playing the game of life, and you spin the last thing, and you get to go into the thing and collect your money and do all your things, and then you got somebody on the board like, well, you should come back in the game. No, you won. The purpose is the winning. And so, you know, I don't look at, well, they lost their battle. They lost their battle? No. Yes, you know what? Their battles are over. You know? But it's not my choosing of who, when, and timing. But I want the healer more than the healing.
Really,
it's not.
Played that song a couple of good ones.
Caden made the whole playlist today.
Really? Mm-hmm. And that one about spirit being led by the Spirit, because he lifts all these little characteristics that, you know, they'll let me be seen. Let you be seen as different. There was a whole bunch of it in that song, and it was really effective. It was good. It was really good. It made so much sense about where we've come with truth and everything else, and being humble, and, you know, it set all those characteristics that we've been trying to get to. So.
Especially, you know, to pray for someone like Cabo. He was in there for wild pain. He needed whatever pain medicine that they could give him. Well, they can't give him anything. There's not ibuprofen. It would be a deep nerve pain that the neurologist would have to, like, trial him with, because it's a brain. He doesn't have pain. I mean, it's a whatever. So they can't. They're like, sorry, we can't give you anything in the ER. And let me tell you, they give people morphine in the hospital. But they couldn't give him anything because it wouldn't matter. And so through that deep pain, he's now telling this man. You know, and it's like, I want to be able to minister to somebody that if I have a big stubbed toe, I'm able to pray for Ken for his stubbed toe. Because while I'm praying for Ken's stubbed toe, the Lord is going to heal mine. So it might feel like maybe some prayers have to feel selfish. It distracts you. it distracts, you know what I mean? And so I am nothing. When I bring up you, I'm like, oh my God, if they only knew I'm something else. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares? You know, they only knew what was in my mind 5 minutes ago, or my unbelief about myself. And I told Pablo, he's prayed for so many people over the years, and, you know, turn the other cheek, and the Lord wants you, blah, 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 you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, if we all practice that own prayer for ourselves, you know, keep it for ourselves. But yes, pray for one another that you may be healed. And your joy is full then. Your joy is full.
Kind of the epitome of the scripture about the plank and the splinter. You know, you don't see how this could be good for you, or you project how bad someone else is, and actually it's you. It's likewise in prayer. Well, you may think you need to pray for someone else. You need the prayer.
Well, I told Pablo, I pray for the people in the nursing home. I've been caring for him. I've had wild squeezing pain in my thing, and then my shoulder and my twitch, and I off every day for 8 weeks. And I don't have time to, I can't even stop to be like, what the heck is that feel? I have to be doing something else. And so I just start praying. And the Lord just takes care of it, because I don't have time to stop and worry. If I stop and worry, then it consumes me. And so I was just telling her this the other day. You know, the more that you give, remember the little penny? What do we call it?
Penny march.
When you give unto the Lord, He will give you
more.
He will give you more to give.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And I said the song doesn't stop with,
yeah,
when you give unto the Lord, He'll give you more. He'll give you more. No, He will give you more to give. You know, and that becomes the I want to give to people from my overflow. I don't want my cup to get moldy, and I just keep giving out, and God will give more. And He'll just.
And when we pray in tongues, it can be for somebody over here, and we think we're praying for this one. We don't know. The Lord knows.
That's why when Pablo was, I was praying for him. He's a baby, the pain. So I said, I know. So I just lay there, because they weren't going to give him anything. And I just put a chair up, and I was praying over his knee, and all of a sudden I heard him speaking in tongues. And he didn't want to talk. I was asking him, you know, do you need to drink water? He's like, oh, I can't talk. I can't talk. I said, okay. And all of a sudden I heard this tongues. I thought, and I'm not going to call it out or say nothing. So I just kept praying. And then I'm thinking, he doesn't want to answer my question. He wanted the limbs, the lights dim. He just didn't know. But he was still praying in tongues. And so afterwards I told him, I never heard you pray in tongues. He goes, and you know what? That it wasn't even my regular tongues. He says, I don't know what it was. It was just coming out of me, because he says, I didn't even have the energy to pray in tongues. So
that
the Lord knows.
That prayer was probably affecting everybody in the waiting room and all the nurses,
yeah,
and everybody. We don't know.
No.
We do not know.
No.
So we just trust the Lord and pray.
Yep. Yep.
Glory.
Amen.
Pretty soon you'll be in emergency rooms and you'll have it on TV and you'll
love you all.